First scripture will be Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Next scripture will be Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone.
The song that we sang, Wonderful Words of Life. And we know the Bible have words which bring life. But we also know the Bible have words that bring forth death. And so in the Bible, we're going to have both life and death. And the difference is whether or not you decide that you want to obey or disobey God. That's the bottom line. If you obey God, then you will have life. If you disobey God, you will have death. We all know that we're supposed to evangelize the world. That's the job of the Christian. And we talk about evangelism, and we look at it different ways, and sometimes we look at it as if only certain people ought to be the ones that evangelize. Well, the Bible teaches differently. It teaches that all of us who proclaims that we are Christians, we ought to go out and evangelize the world. This lesson is for us Christians. It's a reminder of what it's all about if we fail to do what God wants. And we need to remember the words of God. The words of God are true. It will come to pass. And so I want to remind you and myself that if we do not do what God wants, then we're going to be in trouble. We need to remember and be aware of the results that's going to await us if we fail to seek the lost. See, we as Christians, we have no alternative but to go out and seek the lost. That's our job. That's why Christ died. And most people will honestly say that if people do not do what God says and they die outside of God, they will be lost. We all agree on that point. However, many of us have not been convinced that we will be lost if we don't seek the lost. We must remember one thing. Our job as a Christian is to plant the seed out into the world. That's our job. Now, if somebody wants to know the truth, God is going to provide that person the means of knowing what they ought to do, and most likely it could be one of us. Now, we need to know what God's word say that we can teach people properly. So that's why we must study, so we can be prepared. We have talked about armies. Can you imagine an army that for the time that you go in there, you do not do anything? You just go to the chow hall and eat and do absolutely nothing. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if you have to go into a battle and you're lazy, sloppy, and fat? it ain't going to work. That same principle goes to us as Christians. If we're lazy and we're fat and we don't know nothing, what good are we? So our job is to know what the Bible says so we can be ready to teach people. Now, hopefully you will get out of this lesson the sinfulness of us when we do not seek the lost. Because it's going to fall on us. James says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and 17. We're going to look at some things that are going to result in the failure of seeking the lost. The first one we want to look at is this. If we fail to seek the lost, we are disobeying God. You know, we've heard stories that some people said when they got the truth, they just close it up and they're going to try to live the truth. But you know, if you have the truth tells you, you must go out and share it with other people. You can't keep it to yourself and think that you're going to go to heaven. There's many commandments in the Bible. And a lot of those commandments tells us that we must teach. We must teach. It's not for the old people in the congregation. It's not for the preacher. It's not for the elder. It's not. If you say you are a Christian, you have obeyed the gospel, your job is to learn how to teach others. Mark 16, 15 and 16 is one that we all know. It was first said to the apostles, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. To fail to do so is disobeying God. And we need to remember that. That need to be in the forefront of our mind, is if we fail to obey God, then we are disobeying Him. We also fail if we don't do those things that we know we should, according to God's Word. Because God's Word is true. I like to tell people, remind people of what God did to people in the Old Testament that failed to listen to Him. You can say, I get off on it, because hopefully I can scare people into realizing that you must take God at His word, and if you don't, the consequences may not be what you want. For example, all of us who are Christians, we know about that flood. It seems the whole world knows that there was a flood. But they don't seem to realize that God wanted to save everybody, and He only found one man in His family that obeyed. And this man preached unto the world. They didn't listen. And then when that rain came, and they started getting above their ankles, they realized something was wrong. But it was too late. We know that story. They disobeyed God. We're going to be studying some more in Numbers about the Israelites that failed to obey God and how He caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, let's see. There's a few in here that would have survived. The rest of us, we would have died. Because God just walked them and walked them and walked them until they died. Why? Because they didn't listen and they didn't do what he told them. Nadab and Abihu, we know the story about them. They failed to heed the word of God. And what happened? Immediately a fire engulfed them. The conclusion, God does not play. And if we fail to seek the lost, then we are disobeying God. Because, you know, I've realized in my life, prior to being a Christian, if I wanted to achieve any goal there is, I could do it. I could go forth and do whatever it is I wanted to do. Because I felt that it was important to me. And I look at folks that go to school and get all of these degrees, all of these things, and then they will say something like, well, I can't teach the Bible. I have a problem with that. You spend all of these years getting this education to get a better job, but when it comes to trying to tell people about the Bible, you say, I can't do that. And so no Christian wants to be guilty of disobeying God because we understand what the consequences are. Another point, a failure in seeking the lost is a failure of doing good. And we know not doing good is a sin. We know that. The Bible teaches that. Again, in James 4 and 17, it tells us that. And James was talking to Christians. He was talking to Christians what they were supposed to do. And so seeking the lost, it's a good thing. It's a great thing because we're concerned about people's souls. And what greater thing that we can do, that we can accomplish, than saving somebody's soul? Saving them from the pits of hell. Snatching them out of the fire. You know, God doesn't leave anything to chance. If you don't read the Bible, you're never going to know it. And there's a lot of people out there, they do not read the Bible, and they don't know these things. But God gives to us warnings, what it is we must do. And a failure to warn the wicked is sinful. In Ezekiel chapter 3, looking at verses 15 and 21, it tells us this. And I came to the exiles at Telabin, who were dwelling by the Shebar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling. And I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warnings from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wicked ways, from his wickedness, or from the wicked ways, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and committeth injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because you have not warned him. He shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. So God has made us watchmen, whether you like it or not. When you say you came to Christ, you said, I am going to follow the rules of Christ. And part of those rules is we must warn each other about sin. We must warn those that are outside of Christ about sin. If we don't, we will lose our soul. And I don't know about you. I don't want to lose my soul. And so I thought about my efforts, and I need to increase them. I need to do more to warn people. And we could talk about different ways of doing it, but we have opportunities in how we can teach people. We just have to look for them, and we just have to do them. We're letting other people lose their souls. People all around us, our friends and neighbors who are not obeying the gospel, we are allowing them to lose their soul because we're not trying to strike up a conversation with them. You know, you're aware of this, I'm aware of this, that we can seem to talk to people about everything under the sun. After a football game, after a baseball game, after things in the news, we're not afraid to talk to folks, the soap operas and all of these things, the movies and on, but we can't figure out a way to strike up a conversation about God. Because, you know, in a sense we're saying, well, I'm afraid they won't listen. Okay, fine. But at least give it an opportunity. Try. You never know until you try. Again, we are to warn the wicked. Again, Ezekiel 3:16-18. Again, as a reminder. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them the warnings from me. You know, we know what is in the New Testament. We know what the warnings are. We know that. And we try to live within the boundaries of those rules. But we are lacking in a few of them. It's not just the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Everybody wants hope. Everybody. The hope for the world is in the Bible. Jesus gave to his disciples what we call the Great Commission. But you know that Great Commission means we must warn people. We must warn people. When you look at what the Scripture says, in Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now he tells them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now he's telling them what to do, what to say, and all of this. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to teach. Not be afraid. It's to teach. It's to teach and to tell people that here is what God says. He requires this, what this is what you have to do to get to heaven. Now, responding to our teaching is the responsibility of the individuals. That's not our job anymore. Our job is to teach the pure, unadulterated truth. Show them what is required. And if we do that, you know, and I've heard this from many preachers, and I've thought about this, and I've asked myself this question, can I say this? Can I honestly say this? Paul makes this statement. He says, I am free from the blood of all men. Or, another translation, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. Acts 20 and 26. Can we honestly say that? Can we honestly say that we're innocent because we've done everything that we could to teach people? There's a song, I believe it's in our songbook. You never mention him to me. And the first time I heard that song, I thought about it. And it upset me. If there was a picture that we were in line, and there was somebody that we knew that we saw every day, and we are hearing the judgment that is being put forth to people who have not obeyed God, and this person turned around to you and said, I thought you was a Christian. Why didn't you tell me? What are you going to say? What can you say? And so like Paul, we should be innocent of everybody's blood. We're being dishonest when we don't do what God tells us. We are entrusted with the responsibility to teach the lost. And think about us. Especially if you were not brought up in the Church of Christ. Your family were not members of the body of Christ. Think about you as an outsider, how you came to know the truth. Somebody took the opportunity to talk to you. And you had honest hearts. You thought about what they were saying. And you realized that you were in trouble. And you needed to do something about it. Think about if this person never came your way. Now, I don't know if somewhere later you would have obeyed the gospel. But somebody took the opportunity to approach you and to say something to you. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. And you know, if you let an opportunity go by, you may never get another shot at it. And you use whatever excuse you want that's not that you're dead, God knows about it. And that just may be enough to keep you out of heaven. And so, if we do not share the gospel with people, we are dishonest to our trust. We have in the scripture, it says about an earthly vessel, which we are. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." We are earthen vessels. God chose us to save others. And how do we do that? Teach the gospel. And for anybody to say, "I don't have the ability," you are lying to yourself, because we all have abilities. We all can make friends. And when you make friends and you do it correctly, it builds trust. And if you live your life accordingly, they will see that. They will respect you if you live the way you're supposed to. And by doing that, then you can bring it up somehow, the Bible. We need to do that. We have the ability. Because like I said, we have the ability to do anything that we want. For example, when we was younger and we wanted the husband that we have or the wife that we have, we made up our mind that I'm going to get that person. And we did everything in our power to get them. You mean to tell me we can't pick a target out there that we know that says, "I am going to try my best to teach them the gospel"? And we can't do something to try to do that? If we can say, "I want $1 million," and you know you got to work, you will work very hard to get that. Why don't we do that to try to win a soul? We need to remember that the greater power is in the gospel of Christ. It has the power to save. Think about this. The gospel, it is to enlighten the mind. It is to convict the conscience. It is to convert the soul. And it is to rejoice the heart. That's what the gospel will do. It will make you a better person if you let it do that. There's a song that I have heard, and basically it says, "The word in me." And it says, "The word in me is my counselor. It is my judge." There's some other things, and I keep saying every time I run across it, I need to write it down so I can remember it. But the word of God is many things in us if we let it abide in us. If we don't, it will chase us away, and we will be lost because we don't want to do what it says. We have to remember that the power comes from God. It doesn't come from us. We could be the most intelligent person in the world. We can remember everything in the world. But the power comes from God and not from us. And you have many people think that they must save the world. The author and the rewarder of our salvation is not from men. It is from God. We must remember that. And I believe if we can remember those certain things, just to do. We are servants. We get the word out and let God do the rest. Because we already know that not everybody is going to heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, it teaches us that the only way you will get to heaven is following the words of God, no matter where it takes you. But if you want to do everything else, it's destruction. And we can't pick and choose who we want to give the gospel to. It's the opportunity. You know, 2 weeks ago, here, there was a young lady that was visiting us. And Jerry, and I think I said that to you, but if not, I'm saying it now. He said he met her in Starbucks. And they struck up a conversation. And he invited her to service. How difficult was that? She could have said no. She did come. Now, whether anything that was said that day, whether or not we influenced her, we'll never know. But if we did, possibly, it would have an effect. We don't know. We just do. And that's all God requires out of us. We're showing a lack of love. We're showing a lack of love for Jesus. And there's many scriptures in the Bible, and this is one of the things that stuck to me, and I say it constantly, and I see that is a failing part on me, and I believe other people in this world, is we do not know how to love. And Jesus says it over and over, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some people can say, well, what commandments are they? Well, you can read. You know what these commandments are. John 15:14, you are my friend if you do what I command you. Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Do you realize if you do not do what God says all the way, you will not get to heaven? The rights will be denied you. John 14:23-24, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And so if we don't love the way he says, we're showing a lack of love for the lost. If we love the lost, if that's our goal, it will be impossible for us to sit back and watch them go to the devil. Do you know, and I've thought about this a lot, in basic physical things, we go out of our way to save people that don't want to be saved. For example, I climb on the highest building and say, I'm going to jump. Me, I said, jump. We're wasting money trying to talk you down from jumping. But we go through everything, helicopters, you just name it, to try to save a person that doesn't want to be saved. And then we prosecute them. Let them jump. They want to jump. They want to die. You've tried to bring them in, but no, they want to die. Once you get the gospel out to people, once you try to tell them what God wants, and they don't want to listen, ain't nothing you can do about it. But how many of us is out there swimming in the water, and you remember that movie Jaws that came out, you know, everybody didn't want to go in the water no more. But how many of us that if we were in the water and we saw danger coming and somebody was reaching out that says, grab my hand, and they said, no, thank you. They would grab your hand in a heartbeat because they don't want that physical danger. But we need to stress to people about the spiritual danger. So you need to remember, we are watchmen. God has made us watchmen. And God is the God of the lost. In Luke 15, there's many parables. But you know, the parable of the lost sheep. We could say that lost sheep represents sinners who are lost. And that lady, that man, he went ahead and he searched high and low until he found that one sheep. We should strive to do the same thing. We should strive to find this one person that wants to obey the gospel. The parable of the lost piece of silver. She searched high and low until she found it. Why can't we do that? We know Christ is earnest in his wanting to bring sinners to him. He gave his life. He gave his life to redeem man. So why can't we diligently seek someone who wants the gospel? Because remember, if you don't, their blood will be on your hands, and you should not want nobody's blood on your hands. Because you fail to seek the lost. God loves us a lot. And he shows us in his word, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Acts 17 and 30. The time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. 1 Timothy 2:3. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who desire all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 2:9. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. The parting words of Jesus is, go teach. That's to me, and that's to you. And if we love him, we will obey him. Now there's some failures in not bearing fruit. Jesus emphasized the importance of bearing fruit, and we know in John 15, he tells us about he is the vine and how we are supposed to be in there. But it also tells us if we don't bear any fruit, he's going to cut us down and throw us away. So what do you think that means? If you, in your years of being a Christian, don't do anything that maybe come to service, maybe participate a little bit, what do you think he's going to do to you? I'm going to tell you, he's going to throw you away. Because the results of that is if we don't bear fruit, we will be cast out, we will be burned, and we are good for nothing. Simple as that. You know, we as individuals, we define people as who are no good, who are unworthy, all of these things because we have our little view on that. But you know, God has his view on unworthy people. And if you fit that mold, you're going to lose your soul. Faith to seek the lost shows that we don't believe in Jesus. Revelations 21:8. and I've used this from time to time, and I hope that I am not that anymore. It says, but for the cowardly, that's one. The faithless, that's two. The detestable, the murderers, the sexual immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burn with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That is the outcome of sin. I don't think any one of us want to go there. We need to remember, only those that obey God will go to heaven. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The interesting thing about all of this is if you believe it, if you believe what the Bible has said to you, what the Bible teaches us about seeking the lost, if you believe this, then you will go, you will seek, you will teach. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. And if we do these things, we're going to grow spiritually. And possibly this congregation will grow in numbers. We need to pray every day for God to give us strength, for God to give us an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Bible. Again, that's all we have to do is talk. And I know a lot of you like to talk. Talk to people. Pray that God will lead somebody to us. Some heart is ready. If you fail to teach others, remember, both of you will be lost. You both will be lost. A question. Does this frighten you? I hope it do. It frightens me. It should, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The fate of you is now while you are living. Do you want heaven? Or do you want hell? And if you can work on other things in your life to cause you to be a faithful Christian, work on that too. We must go teach the world about Jesus Christ, the Savior. Formulate in your minds how you're going to do this. Formulate in your mind how you are going to approach somebody. You know, I do that all the time. Think about, how should I go about saying this? What should I say? And I have the opportunities a lot of times when people say something to me to say something. And I take advantage of that. I take advantage of trying to say something. It may not be in depth about the gospel of Christ, but I say something about the Bible. And you can do this too. You know, for example, we spent some money and got some cards and got some folders, hoping that some people will take them and want to do correspondent courses. And we have only had a couple and one that is continually doing so. My recommendation is this. Go to the places that you have put those things up and take them down. And then split the cards up amongst yourself, your family, and people that you know, hand them the card. Talk it up to them. Tell them what it's all about. Convince them to do this. There may be some success, and there may not. But that is the recommendation. Do that, and let's try to evangelize the world, because we are responsible for doing that. I hope this lesson benefited you. If you got nothing from it, remember, God holds you accountable, and He makes you a watchman. So if there's anything that you need from this congregation, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing.